What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 15th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I know there was not a Plus Pitch Podcast yesterday. I am debating internally if I'm going to be just doing these 6 days a week or seven. I'm going to try to do seven, but sometimes on the weekends, it's just I don't have the time. Jose Budo, six innings, zero runs, two hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts going toe-to-toe against Cole Reagans. He did great. I'm happy for him. He gets the Dodgers next. I don't think that Jose Budo is that kind of talent that you hold on through the Dodgers. He's a Toby, essentially, and I'm glad it worked out well. It's nothing really that is that exciting, I think, with Jose Budo. Cole Reagans on the other side, six innings, zero runs, pew, pew, pew. He's amazing. We all feel great, and that's awesome, and everything is wonderful. Jose Berríos against the Rocky Road did exactly what he was supposed to do. Bailey Ober, the Redemption Tour, is here, and by the way, it's kind of weird to see him throw cutters and sliders about 50% of the time, actually 54% of the time, when he's actually supposed to be a fastball changeup guy. So I guess that's kind of cool because, like, he's feeling good with those pitches where we thought those were just supplementary options. That's nice, but also meant that only 24 four-seamers, and that's why we see three strikeouts. Interesting. He also faced a lot more right-handers and left-handers, so thus you'd see fewer changeups and more of those sliders and cutters. Still, kind of interesting for Bailey Ober. Zach Gallen got the win against the Cardinals. He's still a tick down. Looking good, though, as far as command goes. Four-seamers are down and curveballs are down, too. That's all good. Graham Ashcraft came through as our streamer of the day. Love to see that. He gets the Angels next. Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. His cutter's all over the place, but at least he has better sinkers here. Sean Armstrong opened for Tyler Alexander. Cruz for a win. Six innings, 200 runs, and 4Ks against the Giants. It's fine. We're happy with that one. He's an okay vulture win kind of guy, but he gets the Yankees next, and you just don't need to go for this. Christian Javier against the Rangers did the thing he was supposed to do, which is throw up four seamers upstairs for whiffs. So seven innings, two earned runs, five hits, two walks, and five Ks. I love this. 8 for 43 whiffs on his four seamer. Change it went 67% strikes. Breakers, slider, and curve returned 61% strikes on their own. That is the world of Javier that we want. It is so good to see that. I was waiting for a game where the four-seamer clicked in a bit, and this is what happens when it does now because he has that changeup. If he didn't have that, 60% strikes, that slider and curve were going to have to make up on their own, which they can't, right? This is why he's a new man. This is why I'm very excited about him this year. Good old Christian Javier. Mitch Keller did well again against the Phillies. Got the win, 7 innings, 200 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Just 9 whiffs, 26% CSW. And yeah, he's a cherry bomb. And you can't be a cherry bomb without something sweet where you didn't really expect it necessarily. I think of him as a hipster. I just don't believe this being a reliable fantasy arm. I think he's just going to go up and down. And good luck trying to figure out when that is for Mitch Keller. Luis Castillo, ace, is going to ace with 23 whiffs for a Gallows pulls. 48% CSW on his slider is lovely. So I'm glad that we finally got that good one out of the way for Luis Castillo. Javier Assad against the Mariners on the other side. 5.2 innings of two earned runs. Four hits, one walk, and six Ks. He got the win because we had some unearned runs for Castillo. He's doing well, and I talked to Sarah Sanchez and Shelley Verstrate about Assad on their Fantastic Fantasy Feud podcast about a week ago. I said that I liked this one against the Mariners. Do I believe in Assad long-term? Not really. This is more of a Vargas rule, and that's okay against the Marlins, but do not hold on too tight. Assad doesn't really do a whole lot that is that exciting with his arsenal. Ryan Baio against the Angels got the win, 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. So what's interesting is foul balls got saved him a bit. And what I mean by that, they didn't actually save him. That's the wrong word I shouldn't use. They added the strikeouts because those balls that would normally be in play, well, they turned into foul balls. Just one in play on the changeup and 16 fell. However, so that means essentially getting to two strikes and then strikeouts as opposed to being in play and ending the bat before the strikeout happens. However, those do extend at bats, which means you have less efficiency, which then means 107 pitches in 5.1 innings. So you can't have it all. You can have one or the other when it comes to Baio. And I'm fine with it either way, though, because I'll take either 8 strikeouts or I'll take fewer strikeouts in 6 innings. So Thanks for being good, Baio. That's cool. Corbin Burns, ace, is going to be fine. And honestly, he wasn't at his best and still had a decent enough start. So that's cool for us. Jack Flaherty allowed 300 runs early and then settled in. 6.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 16 whiffs, 38% CSW for King Cole is wonderful to see. His curve and slider were pretty much the same it was last time with 40% CSW each. Unfortunately, the fastball that did actually get hit a little bit In this one, I just didn't get as hit as it was in the previous one. And there you go. That's baseball. Like, you're going to have days where things get hit a ton and others where they don't, and you're not really any different. So that's Jack Flaherty. Colin Ray, hopefully if Jack Flaherty actually locates four seamers well, then he will deserve better. But yeah, Colin Ray against the Orioles, 5.2 innings, 300 runs. That's cool. We'll take that, six base runners and six Ks. Like, that's nice. Got the Philly, 85 to 90 pitches is better than expected for Colin Ray. But yeah, we're not really thinking that Colin Ray can do anything like this with any consistency. Trevor Williams, never Trevor. Yu Darvish against the Dodgers, 5 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. Honestly, like, it's not the worst against the Dodgers. And it just feels cool that he has to go against them twice in his first 5 games. 92 pitches, 7 whiffs, 17% CSW. Technically went 9 pitches, according to Samant, and didn't throw any of them fewer than 8 times, which is kind of cool, honestly. But I think it was just kind of an amalgamation of things in the zone and not really like a precise utilization of all of his tools. Now, he's not using the palette properly, or at least in its most creative way. James Paxton against the Padres, walked 8 batters. Yes, 5 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 8 walks, 1 strikeout. That is a whip killer. 7 whiffs, 26% CSW, as his four-seamer nibbled the top inside of the zone, and then his curveball just was not underneath as it should be. Maybe we're getting to the end of the line for Paxton. Maybe there's an injury or something hidden underneath. But if he does get the Mets next, then we're cool with that. Walker Buehler is returning soon, but then again, so is Bobby Miller out of the rotation. So you see this one weird game, and then you see Buehler take over there, and then Paxton maybe is here. I don't know. With Paxton, you don't really need to hold for too long when he does falter. So, like, if it's not good against the Mets, you can just kind of move on. Tyler Anderson against the Red Sox. We didn't really expect this to go well because it's Fenway. And yeah, it didn't go well. So just remember that Tyler Anderson is a Toby and not really someone that you should be trusting for a long time. Logan Allen against the Yankees. He allowed a 3-run shot from Judge, but otherwise did fine. And he gets Athletics, so we should be cool with that next. Kyle Freeland, no thank you. Zach Wheeler allowed a grand slam in the top of the sixth. And it was so annoying. He was really good until then. Up 1.5 ticks on his fastball, so that means he's back to 95-96, not the 94 miles per hour that we saw before, and that's very good. You have Alex Wood going against the Nationals. I thought that maybe this would be a sneaky win chance or something like that. Okay, fine, not against the Nationals. 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 11 base runners, and 4 Ks. Okay, fine. We don't do Alex Wood. Nestor Cortez against the Guardians, 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts, 15 whiffs, 27% CSW. Yeah, he had like one bad inning and two long balls, and that was it. More 4-seamer whiffs are good, 8 over 45. That's nice to see that back in action. He's fine. He's maybe a Holly this year that is like a Toby but has some strikeout potential. I mean, 6 Ks over 4 innings. But I don't think he's going to be like the top 25, top 30 guy that we wanted him to be. Nathan Eovaldi and others went as well yesterday, and we're going to talk about them and all of tomorrow's starting pitchers after this break. Nathan Eovaldi against the Astros, 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. The splitter didn't do well. He didn't earn enough strikes, and that meant his heater, his curve and cutter, had to do more inside the zone, and that didn't go well. Well, that stinks. Now he gets to Atlanta, and that's not really that fun, but I think I'm still just going to do it. He's on the border of probable and questionable there. Jesus Luzardo against Atlanta. Well, yeah, it's against Atlanta. And Luzardo is a cherry bomb anyway. So fine, we just kind of move on from the 5 runs, 5 innings there. I think we're going to still start him against the Cubs next. Michael Soroka is just not doing well, and we can move on from Michael Soroka. Miles Michaelis, it went against Arizona. It didn't go well. Yeah, so you don't do that. Charlie Morton, oh man, he's supposed to get wins. 5.2 innings and 6 earned runs and 7 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. That's nice, but like, he's such a hipster, and I knew that he would be entering the year. We all did. Just don't do it. Last but not least is Blake Snell. 4.0 innings of 7 runs. Ugh. 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks, as his command was worse. And this is kind of what he does a lot in the beginning of the year. I was hoping that the first start, the skills were better than what we normally see, so that maybe Blake Snell would not be that guy. But unfortunately, he is that guy. And that's not the guy that we want him to be. So I think we just kind of keep starting him and just hope for the best. That's all you can really do, because you know it's going to get amazing at some point. It has to, right? Of course, this is what we do every year with Blake Snell. Looking forward to today's and tomorrow's games. Well, today's games are already started because it is the Boston Marathon Day. In Boston, shocking, more at 11. So we are going to move past today's games. I will mention we do have some updates. Nick Sastrini is going against Kansas City. It's an MLB debut there. Same with Mitchell Parker against the Dodgers. Nick Sastrini, honestly, is not the worst spec ad you could have. He had a horrible, horrible final spring start, but I haven't really gotten a great look into Sastrini, and there was a ton of hype about him entering the year. He was the main piece in the Lance Lynn deal to the Dodgers last year. So if you want to do a spec out there and maybe get excited, I'm all for that, but I'm not starting him today. It's also Edward Cabrera coming back. Do you start him? I honestly have him in one league and I'm going to keep him on my IL spot just to see where we're at. You don't have to make a move until you make a move. That is, if you want to add a free agent or something like that, you can't keep Edward Cabrera in there, but until you make a move, then you don't have to take him out. So I'm leaving him there and just assessing this start before I decide if I really want to hold on and drop someone else for him to activate him. I have actually some high hopes for this. Edward Cabrera was looking really good in the spring and limiting his walks plenty, especially with four-seamer strikes increasing. So I hope that sticks around. Otherwise, other changes from yesterday. I'm trying to figure it out. There's one other, and I can't... Mike Lorenzen instead of Cody Bradford. I apologize. That's the middle of questionable start against Detroit because we don't really know how long they're going to let Lorenzen go for and if he's going to be able to chuck enough sliders over the plate to make it work. Tomorrow's starters, you have Grayson Rodriguez, Logan Gilbert, Jared Jones, Dylan Cease, Aaron Civale, and Hunter Green all in the auto start tier. You can kind of say that Jared Jones, Dylan Cease, and Hunter Green are very much of the same cloth. That is, they are fastball slider and really just dominate with that. And the way I see it is that Jared Jones is doing it better than Hunter Green is. And honestly, better than Dylan Cease's, because I love both of his pitches. Both of his pitches are so elite, while Dylan Cease's isn't. And same with Hunter Green's. Yeah, I think Hunter Green's fastball is worse than Jared Jones. So I'm stoked for this one. Aaron Civale is also here because it's the Angels, and that's great. Probable start too. You have Brady Singer against the White Sox, Ranger Suarez against Rocky Road, Jordan Hicks against the Miami Marlins. Hicks' sinker is looking really good inside the zone, so we're fine with that. Tanner Bibee at Boston. I know it wasn't very good last time out. It's been a little bit of tepidness on Bibee, but I think if you have him, you're starting him against Boston. And on the other side of that is Garrett Whitlock against the Guardians. Yeah, extensions there. The Guardians are kind of good-ish, and it is Fenway, so I understand hesitation there. John Gray against the Tigers. It's the Tigers, but then again, John Gray only really has a good slider. His fastball's gotten a little bit better, but I don't know if I buy it yet, but we're going with this. Yusei Kikuchi against the Yankees opposite. Carlos Rodon against the Jays. Both of those guys are in probable start. Rodon was a near questionable one. I understand if you want to bench Kikuchi, but Kikuchi's looked really good with his curveball and slider approach versus the change of being a part of that in his first outing. I like that version of Kikuchi more with that curveball as it was in the second half of last year, and please continue to shelve the changeup. Well, Rodon, I don't know, he's throwing like 94, but he does ramp up a little bit more during the start, and the cutter's looking a little bit better. Hopefully he's just finding his own groove. The Jays are also a weird offense where they sometimes are good and sometimes are terrible. Questionable start here is Lance Lynn against the Oakland Athletics. If you want to put him in probable, go ahead. It's a ton of questionable. I just think that Lance Lynn just isn't that good, and the Oakland Athletics can do things. They are a major league team still. Jose Soriano is our stream pick of the day against the Rays because Jose Soriano has some filthy stuff with a good sinker at upper 90s, mid to upper 90s. He has a curveball that is nice as well. He worked out after the first inning last time against the Rays. He had a very strange first inning. So I'm going to chance this one as my stream pick of the day. Ryan Weathers is the other option there against the Giants. Four-seamer has been good. Changeup and slider are inconsistent. And it's always just a little pedestrian, but this could work out well against the Giants. Jose Quintana has had his good command, and maybe that does work against the Pirates. Reynaldo Lopez gets the Astros, which is not a preferable matchup whatsoever. But it is Lopez on a winning ball club, and maybe it does work out against the Astros. Casey Mize gets the Rangers, unfortunately. Jake Beasters could very well work against the Cardinals. He's just a cherry bomb, and you just don't know if he's going to be able to throw those sweepers in the zone again, if his four-seamer is going to be able to dominate, etc. And last but not least, there's Ryan Yarbrough against the Nationals. That could be a streaming victory. Maybe Vulture one, as it might be an opener form as well. And in the do not start tier, you have Chris Paddock against the Orioles. I'm not seeing enough Chris Paddock right now. Wade Miley against the Padres. Ugh, I don't even know how long he's going to go. Eric Fede against the Royals. Royals are kind of a good offense right now, and Fede's a Toby, and he's just not doing quite enough. Hunter Brown looks so bad against said Royals last week. And I'm not going to have faith that his secondaries are way better against Atlanta. You can, I've already dropped him and you guys can too. Tommy Henry against the Cubs. He's had a start or two that have been good, but it's the Cubs and I know. Austin Gomber, Kyle Hendricks, and Patrick Corbin round it out. All right. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.